2 Corinthians chapter 5 in Scripture, and we'll touch on a couple of those verses today, but in Scripture, you know, we are called the children of God. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our brother. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and our Master. They are our parents. So as children, we learn to grow to become like our parents. We grow to become like our father, like our elder brother. We seek to be Christ-like. We see that in Scripture. And Jesus Christ set the example. If you've seen me, if you know the Father, because I represent the Father. He and I are one. They had two wills. Jesus Christ said, I came not to do my will, but to do my Father's will. We have a will too, right? And sometimes our will doesn't align with God. We live in Satan's society. But as we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's turn to verse 20, because we've been called to be ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador. And it tells us that, as Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, Paul says, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Those who represent the Word of God, who are teaching you, are ambassadors for Christ. And you too, we as the body, need to be ambassadors for Christ. So what is an ambassador? Well, ambassador is one who is in a foreign country. Us, we're in a foreign country. We're called by God, right? We live in Satan's society. An ambassador is one who lives in a foreign country but represents another country. Or they're within another government and they represent another government. So I would do the parallel that we represent another government, another God, but we live in the world that is controlled by Satan. And they help make their country succeed. An ambassador helps make their country succeed among rival governments. Let's continue here in verse 20. As though God were pleading through us. So we're ambassadors for Christ as though he's pleading. Through us, we implore you. He's through us to implore you. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Have a relationship with God. Be reconciled to him so he hears your prayers and he answers those prayers. He's there to help spiritually with spiritual blessings and spiritual promises. And he takes care of us physically as well, as we heard in the first message. Verse 21, for he made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, so Christ never sinned, to be sin for us, to take those sins, the death penalty, to take it away, to help us to overcome them, to forgive us of those sins, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That process, right? That's what God says. We have a relationship with him. We do what he says. We get help from Jesus Christ. We're reconciled through Christ to God as we go before God and seek to be an ambassador, to live like Christ, to be Christ-like. Ambassadors stand for godliness. They don't stand for what the rival government stands for. So as children of God, as ambassadors for God, do we always do what we're supposed to do? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 7, and we'll see an example that we do not. You know, Paul, as a child of God, even after being called, he had to fight to be an ongoing ambassador for Christ. Sometimes Paul struggled to obey God. Romans chapter 7, let's pick it up in verse 21. He says, I find then a law, which is God's law. God's law shows us what the truth is. God's law has standards. When we break it, we see that we've broken that law. So when we break that law, it says that evil is present with me. So when I break that law, I'm doing evil because God is good. The one who wills to do good. So I want to do good. I really want to do good. It's in my mind. But I see that through the law that I sin. So he's looking for it. He knows it. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I like God's way of life. I like to keep the Sabbath. I like to keep the holy days. I like to fellowship. I do tithe. I'm thankful to know this way of life. But I see another law in my members warring against law. But I see something else. Something else in me that I don't always do that I'm supposed to do. Like relationships. What comes into my mind that I need to get rid of it. Some things that I say. I need to stop that. I need to bring the law of my mind and bring me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. It's there. It's constantly there. Satan's trying to tempt. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So my mind, I'm determined. I want to obey. I want to live this way of life. This is what I want. But I still have this struggle. I still have this fight. So he's an ambassador for Christ. He lives in a foreign land, under a foreign government. And who's the god of the government that we're under? It's Satan. It's this world. That's the rival government. Paul is, you know, if he's not fighting to overcome, right? He says, I have this issue. We all have this issue. It's there. But sometimes we ignore it. Paul is saying, don't ignore it. When we ignore it, right, we're with God. We know we've been called. I'm here today, right? There's other things that we do, but we don't. Maybe there's times we don't respond to the Holy Spirit when it's telling us we need to say we're sorry, or to get those thoughts out of my head, or I need to not procrastinate. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but it's almost like a double agent, right? Double agent. Double agent represents, say, another country, and they're in another country, and double agent doesn't tell you the truth, right? Now, I didn't come up with that concept, double agent. John Eliot has a sermon out called Secret Double Agents. And you can look it up and listen to it. And that's where I got the concept, is of that double agent. A double agent is undermining the government he represents by serving a rival government. So let's look at that today. You know, as children, we grow up. Now, and I'm talking about physical children, right? My grandkids, you know, they say please, they say thank you. You know, you can tell them, you know, the nice, ask them to do nice things. They can say, I love you, right? These are all good things that they do. These are things that have been taught. But they're also taught to share. They don't always like to share. And sometimes they get angry and they hit their sibling. Did you hit your sibling? Sometimes they'll admit it. Sometimes they won't. Why did you do it? Well, he's taking my things. Right? So they are doing some good things, but it's hard for them to overcome other things. And it's the same with us. Sometimes those children ignore instruction. We're the children of God. We too have to overcome and change. As we go through the message today, let's look at that analogy. Could we be double agents? Could we be secret double agents? And we'll get more into that as we go through the message. Now, we want to be in God's kingdom. And as we go through the message and as we hear God's word and as we put it into our lives, we should always be asking, is there anything that I'm not doing that I should be doing? Is there anything that is holding me back from having a relationship with God? If we were to die today, would we be ready for the kingdom of God? Would we want to be judged by Jesus Christ? Are we ready for that judgment? Is there anything that could be holding us back from being in that kingdom? Now, I will say this, and we'll go through some scriptures, that it's very hard to pin down these double agents that are in the church. Why? You know, if you watch a TV show and you see double agents, it's hard to get the truth out of them. They torture them sometimes to try to get the truth out of them. Sometimes they're able to, sometimes they're not. They're willing to die, to hold on to not revealing the truth. A secret double agent must be interrogated. Why? Why? Because they're good liars. The Bible tells us that we're good at lying. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. You know, before we came into the church, you know, it's like we were of the world. Maybe we were of another denomination, but we sometimes wanted to get our way. As children, they want to get their way. They lie to their parents. What about us with God? What about us with one another? Jeremiah 17:9 says that we're good at lying. The heart, the core, who we are, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the core? Do you think that we can do it on our own? Or do we have to be interrogated? Verse 10 says we have to be interrogated. I, the Lord, search the heart. I have to do the interrogating. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways. Hopefully, we want to see correction, and God can help us with that. If not, and he's still working with us, he'll do what he has to do, according to the fruit of his doings, it says. Now, we need help to be ambassadors for Christ. We need help to fully represent our God and our elder brother. You know, God helps us with exposing those secret sins. You know, let's turn over as an example and see that King David was a double agent. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 12. God sent someone to help David see that he was a double agent. Now we know David loved God. David kept the commandments. He promoted God's way of life. Yet God still had something against him. David was not confessing all his sins. Let's pick it up in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. And obviously we know that David was the rich and the poor was Uriah. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, as David was the king. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, which was Bathsheba, his wife. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank with his own cup and lay in his own bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David committed adultery and never confessed it to God. He tried to cover it up. But he was king. He had God's Holy Spirit. He promoted God's way of life. He was breaking God's law. He was practicing lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Verse 5, so David's anger was greatly aroused against that man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall be restored fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, because he had no pity, he had no mercy, he had no value, he had no consideration for a relationship, treating others as how you'd want to be treated. He saw no potential. And others, fill in the blank. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would also have given you much more. And you could go back reading this. David committed this sin. He tried to cover it up instead of confessing it. He didn't repent until right around the birth of the baby. What does David say, verse 13? So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against God. Sometimes it takes someone to come to us and to point those out, because we won't confess them. Let's turn over to Psalm 51. We see that David was a secret double agent. He was promoting God's way of life. He was representing that government,
But he was still undermining that government he represented by promoting the rival government of Satan. So what does David do? He saw that he was resisting God at the same time while he was promoting him. Psalm 51, let's pick it up in verse 5. He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So I was born, right? And Satan is there. I'm born into this world. "Behold, you desire truth in the inward part." So you desire for us to change, to not hold on to that. "And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." And we get that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be stitched together as the body. Through his shed blood, our sins are forgiven. Through his life, we are reconciled to the Father. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow." So show me, help me. "Make me hear the joy and gladness." Make me hear the joy and gladness. "That the bones you have broken may rejoice." Help me listen to what you're revealing to me, that when you break me and show me that I'm wrong, help me to rejoice. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities," even those sins I don't even know I'm committing. "Create in me a clean heart," he says, through God's Holy Spirit, as God reveals his way to us. "O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Because he wandered, and he doesn't want to wander. "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Salvation should be a joy. To allow God to help, helping to save us. "And uphold me by your generous spirit." And then drop down to verse 17, "The sacrifices of God." What is the sacrifices of God? What helps us be restored to God is a broken spirit. I'm wrong. "A broken and a contrite heart, I'm willing to change. These, O God, you will not despise." You know, we like to promote the good side of ourselves, if you think about it. Romans chapter 6. We always like to talk about the good that we do, the things that we're doing, the things that we're promoting, the successes that we have. But how often do we say, "You know what? I've messed up. I'm trying to change that old man, the old person, man or woman that keeps coming out of the water at baptism, right? Rising up, promoting pride, not wanting to overcome sin. It happens. We got to keep pushing them back into the water. That's what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death." We died to get rid of the old person. We knew, we made that commitment at baptism. "But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That's our calling. We need to be renewed. God desires that we confess our sins. Now, this is just one area. Let's turn over to James chapter 5 as this an example. So there's many things that we need to be working on, and God is very patient with us. He's very merciful to us as long as we are patient and merciful towards others. But he's telling us, don't hold any of your sins as secrets. Don't be a double agent, promoting me, yet not doing what I ask you to do. If you're not doing what I ask you to do, you're still promoting that rival government while you're still representing me, and that is no good. Here James tells us in chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another. Now, that doesn't mean we go to everyone and say, hey, I did this, I did this, I did this. No, but when you sin against a person, we are to confess, say we're sorry, work on changing, right? It is so important to God that he even says, don't even come to me until you work that out. Work that out. Confess what you did wrong, even if you have to take the loss to restore the relationship. Do that to each other. And pray for one another that you may be healed. Right? That is talking about a spiritual healing. Now, stop and think about this. If we're not putting into practice in our lives, just one thing, we are secret double agents. We're not promoting God's government amongst this rival government on this earth. And if we're not doing that, it says we won't be healed, because it says you're not going to be healed. And if we're not going to be healed spiritually, God says, you know what? I can't even help you physically. Think about that. Now, God will heal physically in his time. That's up to him. But could we be holding him back? Spiritually, he will heal quickly, he tells us, if we're seeking him. That's our covenant contract that we have. If we don't try and reconcile, we're secret agents. So over to Matthew. Now, we've been talking about this section of scripture for a few months. Larry Beckett talked about this in his sermonette a few weeks back. But we have to ask the question, is there really a secret double agent in me? As people are going to come before Christ, and they want to receive eternal life. And he says no, even though that they were promoting God. He says no. He says, I never knew you. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We have to do his will. We have to do his will. Many will say to me in that day, and it's talking about judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Right? We're teaching in your name. We're promoting you. Like David. Have we not cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And God was working with them. But they weren't fully responding. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. 1 John 3:4, we know that sin is lawlessness. We're still practicing sin. He says, nope. Yeah, you've done this, you've done this, but you knew what you were supposed to do. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But as we heard in the sermonette, you want to build all this treasure for yourself and not even share it. Your focus is on yourself. It's a sidebar, 1 Corinthians 11. We're told to examine ourselves. Paul says, examine yourselves. Look how you're treating one another. You're going to take the Passover? Look what you're doing. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32. We're even told in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, test yourselves, we're told. Is Christ even in you? Is he even in you? Are you listening to him? Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 shows us that God is good at exposing these people with secret sins. He's good at it. God is good at it. He's the master. Verse 14 shows us how we get Jesus Christ to reveal that double agent in us. Hebrews chapter 4, let's read verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, profession, calling, whatever you want to say. He's good at that. And we need to be diligent in being exposed. Let's drop up to verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Talking about we want to be in God's kingdom. We want to be what this day represents. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. He doesn't want us to be disobedient. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give account. So God knows. God knows who we are. We can't hide anything from him. And it says we must give account. So how do we expose that double agent in us? Verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We have weaknesses. We don't like to acknowledge our sins to those who we should when we do. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't like to admit and say, I'm sorry. It's hard to go out of our way and to give of ourselves to make things right. It's hard to bend the knee if it's something we don't want to do. But he was tempted in all things. He overcame Satan. As it tells us, I believe it's in Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes as I overcame will sit on my Father's throne, as I sit on my Father's throne. Jesus Christ overcame Satan, the devil. He overcame his will, but was in all points tempted as we are. God doesn't tempt, Satan tempts. But he never sinned. So let us there come boldly to the throne of grace or the throne of favor and confess our sins and ask for help, like we just read in Psalm 51, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy from what? From who we are and what we do, the core. And find this grace or this favor to help us in time of need. When we mess up, we need that help. Isn't that more important than praying for physical things? But praying for us to be united, to be one, and putting that into action as Christ was willing to die for and his Father was willing to give of his Son for this to happen. Real quick, 6 minutes we have left. 3 points to help us to overcome sin. I have 3 quick points to help us to overcome sin. Now, you can use this all the time, not just today's sermon. 3 quick points. Search them out. point number one. You know, Ephesians 5, verse 12, I think is a good scripture. Now, my wife purchased Sirix FM for me, because it's hard to find the right channels of whatever you want to listen to. Whether it, you know, talk radio is always talking bad about someone else and how good they are or their side, certain music and different things. But as I'm searching on the channels, I see, oh, a comedy station. And I cut, just waiting for a bad word. And it actually says clean comedy. Is there clean comedy? There is no clean comedy. Let me explain here in just a minute. We want to search out our sins. Now, I could have listened to that. I was laughing at it. And, you know, I got, you know, a couple of very clean jokes before I stopped listening to it. I'll tell you why here in just a second. But we want to search out our sins. Ephesians 5, verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. If we want to seek the truth, we want to compare it to the Word of God. Am I doing godly? Is this promoting God's way of life? Let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Right? Children make mistakes. We need to change. We need to repent. We don't know everything. But God is molding us into His Son to be like Him. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We can be a sweet-smelling aroma to God too. Are we searching out our sins? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, as we heard in the sermonette, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Making fun of others. Now, if we're told to not make fun of others, but we listen to others make fun of others and we laugh at it, would that be sin? If Christ is telling us to not even name those things, don't even do it, you think Christ would sit and listen to some comedy where they're making fun of others? Not lifting them up, but making fun of them to make us laugh? No. So that's why I stopped. I had to search out that sin. God gives us His law, and through His law, we know what sin is. That's Romans 7, 7. So once we search out that sin, okay, I've searched it out. What should be my next thought? We should, if we are an ambassador for Christ, we want to get rid of that secret double agent in us. We want to despise that sin. Despise it. Hate it. Now, I'm going to give you two scriptures you can look up later. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to despise sin. And Psalm 119:104, we are to hate every false way. If we're not, don't pretend that you can be promoting God and be in His kingdom. And we would come to judgment. But I did this, I did this, I did this. No, you still practice lawlessness. So as we search out the sin, as we despise the sin, what do we need to do? We need to conquer it. I'm going to turn over to Psalm 32 for this scripture. Psalm 32, verse 5, actually sums this up very well. I acknowledge my sin to you. This is Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I'm not hidden the secret sin. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
So we put God's way into practice. We're in this world representing
God's kingdom, his way of life. You know, we can close over in Romans chapter 8 with this process, because I said we are to conquer sin. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, yep, that's what we need to do. We need to conquer it. Romans 8, verse 37, he says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can conquer sin through the help of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's willing to forgive us of our sins, who's willing to give us the strength to overcome, willing to help us to be reconciled to the Father. So the Father is there to help us as well. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Nothing should be able to separate us. Do we want to search out those sins? Do we want to despise them when we see them and make those corrections in our lives? God is doing everything he can to help us to see what we need to be doing. We are given the Holy Spirit. We are shown what we need to do, but we need to exercise it. And God helps us to conquer all sin.
So as children of God,
let's seek to be molded into Christ. That's what we want. That's what we need to have. We need to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and overcome this rival government that's on this earth who's pulling at us constantly to wear us out to not be in God's kingdom. We need God's help, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's not be of the world. Let's not be a secret double agent, but let's be fully committed to do the will of God. That way, nothing will hold us back from doing his will and being in his kingdom.